A new report from the World Anti-Doping Agency implicates 1,000 Russian athletes competing in 30 sports. The CIA alleges Russian interference in the U.S. presidential election, and four leading senators call for a full-fledged investigation. And a week of diplomacy kicks off with Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov heading to Serbia today and Vladimir Putin traveling to Japan later in the week. Hello from our broadcast headquarters in Prague and welcome to the Power Vertical Briefing, a weekly look ahead at stories we expect to make news this week. My name is Brian Whitmore, host of the Power Vertical podcast here at RFERL, and joining me in the studio is RFERL editor Steve Gutterman. Welcome, Steve.
Hi, Brian.
So it looks like we've got a big week ahead of us. On the one hand, the results of the World Anti-Doping Agency's report were positively eye-popping. But on the other hand, we've seen so much information about Russian doping over the past year, there's probably very little that can actually surprise us. Do you see any resonance or consequences here, Steve?
Well, I mean, there are some, I guess, minor consequences already. You've got the Latvian skeleton team saying it won't compete at the World Championships in Sochi in that sport later this winter. And some U.S. athletes also saying, you know, they might not go or they won't go. Mm-hmm. And the U.S. Sports authorities saying, well, we're going to support any who make that decision. I mean, I do think it kind of adds, well, as you say, not surprising, the results of this complete report, not surprising at all. But I do think it adds to the whole kind of background impression that, you know, that Russia has been very corrupt in the sports world, and it's kind of the moral background here. On the other hand, for Russia and the International Olympic Committee will be retesting all the doping tests from the 2012 and the 2014 Sochi Olympics. So, you know, this stuff is going to keep coming out, and you know that could have an effect. On the other hand, Russia's already saying, well, Mutko, the sports minister, I guess, is already saying, look, there was no blanket ban in Rio on Russian athletes. So that probably bodes well for the next Olympics in Pyeongchang in South Korea.
I argued this morning on the Daily Vertical that this is kind of a metaphor for how Russia's been corrupting institutions across the board that we trust, like take elections, for example. Moving on to our next topic. Four U.S. senators, Republicans John McCain and Lindsey Graham and Democrats Charles Schumer and Jack Reed, have called for a full investigation into allegations that Russia attempted to intervene in the U.S. presidential election. They stress that this has to be bipartisan. Their call comes on the heels of the CIA claiming that Russia intervened in an attempt to get a specific result in the U.S. elections. What do you make of this, Steve? I thought the bipartisan nature of this call let's face it, four heavyweight senators, John McCain and Lindsey Graham of the Armed Services Committee, Chuck Schumer, the minority leader, and Jack Reed. These are not lightweight senators. These are heavyweight senators. It's a bipartisan group, and the bipartisan nature of this actually I saw as pretty important. What did you make?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you have Trump essentially rejecting the allegations that came out, you know, from the CIA, saying, you know, rejecting them. I think if there is such investigation, and I saw Schumer said just now that the fact that the CIA and FBI kind of disagreed or had different levels of information about it, that kind of underscores the need for an investigation. I think it'd be hard to argue that, you know, this shouldn't be investigated.
Yeah, I think it's impossible to argue that this shouldn't be investigated.
I mean, I think one thing to note maybe is with this kind of split between CIA and FBI, it sort of reminds me of Russia a little bit. I mean, Putin's always said to rule by sort of balancing the camps, playing them against each other in the Siloviki, and looks like that's what's happening in the U.S. And, you know, I have to say, if his aim is to sow divisions in the West and inside countries in the West, I mean, that's what this is. It's divisions in the U.S. Establishment, so...
It's worth also noting this comes as German intelligence, both the domestic and foreign intelligence of Germany, says Russia has stepped up its disinformation campaign and hacking in Germany in an effort to influence that country's parliamentary election, a very important parliamentary election where Angela Merkel is seeking another term, which will take place later in 2017. So these things aren't happening in isolation. Finally, we got a very big week in Russian diplomacy ahead of us. Sergei Lavrov, the foreign minister, minister begins a tour of the Balkans today with a trip to Serbia. And later in the week, Putin heads to Japan. I see the Serbia and the Balkan leg of this with Lavrov as part of kind of damage control after these allegations that Russia attempted to stage a coup in Montenegro, alienating allies in the region, including Serbia and Montenegro. Putin's trip to Japan, of course, there's a lot of talk. There might be some deal over the Kuril Islands. I'm, for one, am very, very skeptical that such, because I just find it hard to imagine what kind of contours that deal is going to take. Japan wants the islands back. Putin's never going to give up territory. So what do you, how do you see these two trips and this diplomacy?
Absolutely. I mean, with Serbia, I certainly agree with you. I think it's damage control to some extent.
And I'm convinced it is. You know why? Because Lavrov says it's not damage control.
So whenever
the Kremlin denies
sign.
Something, that's what's happening.
So you had, who was it who went before? Patrushev went before. And I think also, I mean, Russia has sort of its hand in many pies, mm-hmm. or a finger in many pies in Europe now. And this is, in a way, it's like, it's a little bit surprising. I mean, normally you think of Russia and Serbia, you know, all the time. But now it seems like Russia's been more active in other countries, you know, trying to affect elections, maybe taking Serbian kind of support for granted. Another thing about, I mean, the Serbia relationship is it's always struck me as more kind of symbolism than substance. And I think that hasn't really changed from what I can see. I mean, you had this big exercise, military exercise, Slavic Brotherhood, you know, but, you know, what's really changed in terms of Serbia's strategic direction?
Well, yeah, there's an interesting irony here. As Russia's making gains elsewhere in Europe with its political tactics and maneuvers, its traditional allies in the region, Serbia and Montenegro, they are losing. They really alienated the Serbs with that alleged coup attempt in Montenegro. Serbia has made clear that it wants to kind of move in a Western direction, despite rhetoric suggesting otherwise.
Right.
Montenegro is going to join NATO. They've received the invitation. So it's interesting. Maybe they're trying to shore up that Balkan Trojan horse in Europe that they've always been trying to develop.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say. Exactly.
What about Japan? Do you agree with me? I just find it hard to see what the contours of a deal are going to look like.
Well, I think there's been talk about, if I'm not mistaken, but about maybe joint administration over the two smaller islands, which are very small. I think one of them is uninhabited, I believe. You know, I agree. I'm always very skeptical of any, you know, of the possibility of a real deal, you know, to end World War II and to kind of resolve the dispute over the islands. You know, there was a lot of talk sort of a month or so ago, but now you see Lavrov saying, well, you know, sort of managing expectations. And
yeah, they seem to be trying to damp down expectations.
Yeah, so right I think, now. You know, I think probably maybe there was a proposal, and there were reports in the Japanese press, you know, of a concrete proposal, and maybe there was something, and, you know, it didn't work out. But I think the chances of a real deal are still very small, because as you say, Japan wants the islands.
And Putin will never give up territory.
Yeah, and so, I mean, he has done so in the past with China, some islands in the I think the Amur River, but no, I mean, I could see some kind of a joint administration or some arrangement that tries to give both sides, you know, the ability to claim success, but you know, I'm not sure anything concrete is going to happen with this visit.
Yeah, we'll keep an eye on it. That visit takes place on the 15th, which is Thursday. On that note, we'll wrap it up. That's all we have time for today. You have been listening to the Power Vertical Briefing, a weekly look ahead at stories making news in Russia. We do this every Monday, so be sure to tune in. I'm Brian Whitmore, host of the Power Vertical podcast. Joining me here in the studio has been RFARL editor Steve Gutterman. Join us again next week. And now, as always, I leave you with the soothing sounds of Noise MC.